Good morning. Colossians, if you have your Bibles, turn with me there. Colossians chapter 1. Thank you, Spencer, for reading that. That was a bit of a long passage. And we're not going to look at the whole thing this morning, but I did want it read just to give us the context of the passage as well. So I don't know about you, but my favorite time of year, spring. Some people love fall. I don't quite get that. They say the colors, but whatever. Some people like stuff. Some people like winter, right? We have Haley's got a cousin that loves winter because it's hockey season, right? And she's a Canucks fan. So now on her Facebook last night, she said 169 more sleeps until October. So she's excited about October. Good night. But my favorite time of year is spring. I love spring. I love the newness of spring. I love the green of spring. I love new growth of spring. I love the warmth of spring. I love the fact that everything is coming out of hibernation and there's new life in spring. And of course, as many of you know, I grew up in a farm, and so I love the whole idea of seeding and everything turning green and the crops growing and stuff like that. One of my favorite things that happens in the springtime on the farm that we grew up on was we had our cows had calves. And just the whole idea of these new lives coming into our farm, these cows having calves and the excitement of these little calves jumping around in the sunshine and just the new life and the excitement that goes with these young little lives, right? So that is one of the big reasons. And I was out helping Andrew Eberl this week work with some cattle, and I was just reminded of the young calves and all the excitement, and reminded why I love spring so much. And sometimes I miss having those little calves around on our farm. Now, one has to understand why farmers have calves. Anybody know? They taste good. I just painted a beautiful picture, and you say they taste good. Okay. They replenish the herd. As you think of a new calf being born, probably most farmers like those calves because they make good pets, right? No. Most farmers want to keep those calves around just so they can brag to their neighbors how good their calves look compared to their neighbor's calves, right? Maybe not. The purpose that calves are born on the farm, of course, is so that we can, especially if we think of heifer calves, but in nature, of course, the bull calves too, that they can reproduce. Reproduction is the idea. So we have this calf that we worked, as a farmer, we worked really hard to get this calf born, first of all. We stay up all hours of the night checking our cows to make sure that the labor and delivery goes well. The calves end up on the ground, they get up, and the first thing that we want to help the calf to do is what? Suck the cow, right? They need that nourishment to be able to start to get the right nourishment into their body to grow and to be healthy. And so we want to make sure that calf is growing up to be healthy and strong. And as it matures and as it gets weaned, then we want to make sure that calf has the right nutrition. We want to make sure that it has the right kind of hay. We want to make sure it has the right kind of grain. We even vaccinate our calves because we want to protect them from disease. And why do we go through all this trouble? So they can have more calves. This whole idea of reproduction. I knew of we had a neighbor one time at home. She was a widowed lady, and she had gotten these three steers. And of course, her idea with these steers was that she was going to feed them, and she was going to butcher them, and they were going to taste good. Thank you. But this widow lady all of a sudden started getting attached to these three steers. And these three steers, when fall time came, they didn't go to the butcher. They stayed all winter, and next spring came, and they continued to stay through the summer. And the next fall, she had these things for 5 years. Somebody finally had to put a stop to that. But the point is that these animals are not here just to look good. These animals are not here to become our pets. They have a purpose. They have a purpose. If we read in Colossians, we understand that we were created for a purpose. I want to suggest to you this morning, if you look in your bulletin, and the title of our sermon this morning was talking about craving an intimate relationship with God. And when I think of the word craving, I think of a pregnant woman, don't you? Yeah. Our kids were born in March. And, well, our older two were born in the month of March. And my wife had cravings when she got pregnant. Okay? Her cravings were for watermelon. Do you know how hard it is to find watermelon in the middle of January in a small town in Saskatchewan? It's almost impossible. Anyways, one day we found the watermelon. It was so exciting. Haley was just so excited, overjoyed that she finally got her watermelon and could satisfy her cravings, only to cut into it and find it being rotten inside. Don't feel sorry for her. Feel sorry for me. What am I going to do with this now? Anyways, we have this craving. We have this desire, this urge, this uncontrollable craving for something. Do we have a craving for an intimate relationship with God? Or are we satisfied with a mediocre, come see, come saw, when it fits, when it's in my schedule, I'll make time for a relationship with God? Or do we have a craving, something that we desire, something that we can, it's right there, we can almost taste it, it's so close? Or do we say, you know, God, I've got a real busy schedule, so I'll tell you what, I will get to you on Wednesday morning, and then maybe Friday, but no, I got something else on Friday afternoon, but I'll be back on Sunday, okay? For sure, no worries about it. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, I'll be in church. Is that what craving an intimate relationship with God looks like? Or does God permeate every ounce of who we are? Does God permeate our very being, every pore of who we are? Do we crave that intimate relationship with God? An intimate relationship with God is essential to understanding our true purpose. If we want to understand who we are, why were we created, we need to understand our Creator, God. Do we understand who created us and why were we created? Intimacy. We crave something. We want to crave that intimate, close relationship with Jesus. I want to suggest to you that the most intimate human relationship that we'll ever have is with probably a spouse. I met Haley 31 years ago, almost. It'll be 31 years in September. I had to think about it. I should look at my notes. And on September the 4th of that year of 1984, when we met in that crowded gym for the first time, my life changed forever. As I started to establish that relationship, as I got to know Haley, as I held her hand for the first time, as we had our first kiss, as we got... Yes, I kissed Haley.
Yeah, it's okay.
The more time we spent together, the more intimate our relationship became, the more close our relationship became. And now that we're empty nesters, this is a lot more fun too, right? We got rid of the kids, now we're having... This is great. I don't know about you, if how many of you empty nesters are enjoying empty nesting, but we are. And the reason being is that we have now, we've done our time. Obviously, we love our kids, but now it's just the two of us, the time that we get to spend together again. And there's an intimacy, there's a growth that happens in our relationship. And I've told people that I think we're more in love now than we've ever been. It'll be 28 years this summer since we've been married. But there's other kinds of intimate relationships that you have on a human level. Does anybody have a friend? Let me finish the sentence before you put up your hands. Yes, we all have friends. Does anybody have a friend where you've spent time together, you've gone your separate ways because of geography or jobs or schooling or family or whatever, and then you get back together and reconnect, and it's just like you were able to pick up exactly where you left off? Anybody have those kinds of friends? I want to see your hands. Yeah. I've got that kind of friend. His name is Richard Larson. Richard Larson right now is on a naval ship out in some ocean someplace. I'm not even sure where. He's a chaplain with the Armed Forces of Canada. And he now lives in New Brunswick. But we went to Bible school together. And even though we may not talk literally for a couple of years, when we get back together, it's like there's a synergy, there's an energy, there's a closeness, there's an intimacy that you just can't put your finger on. It's really cool. As we develop our relationship with God, as we encounter God, as we become more intimate with God, that relationship is going to continue to grow and get stronger. And then as we continue to figure out what our purpose is, because we are created by Him for a purpose. And I want to suggest one of those purposes to reproduce. Not the reproducing that Scott was talking about, necessarily, but reproduce in our faith. Are we reproducing on our faith? Or are we taking in this Bible stuff? Are we taking in relationship stuff? Are we talking and praying to God only because we want to look good? I'm going to go to church this Sunday, and I'm going to look good. And everybody's going to know that I'm a good Christian. Is that our purpose? I'm going to get together with some friends, and they're going to see my Bible sitting on the table, and they're going to know that I'm a good Christian. Is that our purpose? Colossians, chapter 1. Let's read verse 6. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your life from the day you first heard it and understand the truth about God's wonderful grace. I want to suggest to you, number one, an intimate encounter with Jesus will change your life. Baptisms, when Diane and Eric were being baptized up here this morning, there I am sitting there bawling like a baby. Love baptisms. When people are expressing their love for Jesus through this public act of being dunked in a horse trough of water. And last time I checked, unless Art tells me something different, this is not... Ooh, it's warm. This is not holy water. This is the town of Claire's home water. Okay, it's nothing special, But what they are portraying, what they are telling us, is that they love Jesus. And they want everybody to know that they love Jesus and that they're going to serve Jesus with all their heart, with all their strength, with all their mind, with all their soul. They want to serve Jesus. And when I want to suggest that when we have an encounter with Jesus, like the people in Colossia had, is that God will change your life. But so often we're resistant. We want to hold back. We don't want to give God everything. We want to keep the fun stuff. We want to keep the sacred stuff. We want to keep the stuff that's maybe precious to us or that we value, and we're not willing to give up everything for Jesus. And it doesn't matter. Sometimes I think, I know this isn't scriptural, Pastor Eric, but sometimes I think we should be baptized every year. We should just have a lineup of people just getting baptized, expressing their love for Jesus. Telling the world that I love Jesus and I'm not holding anything back. I don't know about what you heard, but when you heard Diane's testimony and when you heard Eric's testimony, did you hear them holding anything back? This is it. God's changed my life forever. And ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever. I want to suggest, like the people in the Colossians did, is that when we have an intimate encounter with Jesus, it will change our lives. Number two, let me read verses 9, 10, and 11. Since we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor, please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you'll be strengthened with all His glorious power so that you will have the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. I want to suggest an intimate relationship with Jesus will cause us to grow. A relationship, understand, is not one-sided. It's not me doing all the right things. It's not even me saying the right words at the right times in the right places to the right people. It's not me just working harder and harder and harder. It's about a relationship. So if Paul and I here are going to have a relationship, that means we need to spend time together. And if Paul and I are going to have a relationship, it doesn't mean that I do all the talking and he does all the listening. It doesn't mean that he does all the talking and I do all the listening. It's about a conversation. It's about experiences that we share together. So if Paul and I go on a road trip to the Maritimes and back, we'll do that in what, 3-4 days? No, it'll take a little longer than that. But by the time Paul and I get back from the Maritimes, we're going to know an awful lot about each other. We're going to know things like our sleeping habits, our eating habits, our bathroom habits. We're going to know a lot about each other. Why? Because we've had that same shared experience together. And I bet you if we made a road trip together, Paul, that we could be sitting together a year down the road, literally a year down the road, a year in the future, and we'd sit down, and one of the things we'd talk about is, remember when we went through Wawa, Ontario? Been there? Never going back? Big goose there, yeah. So we're going to have that shared experience. We're going to have those memories, okay? But as it says here in Colossians, it says that when you live, in verse 10, then with the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better and better and better. It's a relationship. It's about listening. This is something that we're not really good at. How many of us listen to God? How do you listen to God? Well, maybe one of the ways is opening up Scripture and reading it, see what he's trying to tell you. About 3 weeks and 3 weeks ago, Scott and my daughter Caitlin and I, we went up to, I took a day out of our lives. And if you know anything about my schedule anyway, I have a busy, busy schedule. But something that has become increasingly important to me of late is taking time out of my schedule, setting aside time for God. Not just 15 minutes here, not just 15 minutes there, but Scott and Caitlin and I, we took a day for God. And not a Sunday. This happened to be a Tuesday. And we took a drive, a two-hour drive, and had a great conversation during that drive and dialogued about all kinds of things. But we went up to St. Francis Retreat Center, which is just outside of Cochrane. It's a Roman Catholic retreat center, and it was a place that we went, and just the ambiance, the environment there, just promotes the whole idea of spending time with God, communing with God, listening to God. While we were at St. Francis Retreat Center, Scott and Caitlin and I hardly spent any time together because that wasn't the purpose. The purpose was that we could go up there to spend time alone listening to what God had to say to us. Maybe it was earth-shattering, maybe it wasn't. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to take time and space to hear what God is saying to you. Shut up for a while. Be quiet for a while. Listen. Sometimes we crowd out God because of all the noise. The noise of conversation, the noise of TVs, the noise of the radio, the noise. It's so noisy. I moved out of Calgary because it was too noisy for me. Do we take time to listen to God? Are we growing that relationship with God? I think sometimes that the biggest enemy of our relationship with God is this word that we call busyness. We're too busy. We're too busy to set aside the time. We're too busy. Our mind is so cluttered with stuff. Our to-do lists are things that are stressing us out. We live in a very stressful world. And I don't believe that God wanted us to be stressed. But if you think I'm preaching to you without having to work on this myself, you're wrong. I'm so busy. And right now, actually, Haley and I are doing some real soul searching to say, this is not good. What are we going to change in our lives to make us less busy? Now, there's busy seasons in our lives. I understand that. When you've got little kids running around, that creates busyness. Right? But I want to suggest that sometimes that we are addicted to busyness. We're addicted to stress. And those things take away from our relationship with God. Those things don't allow us to crave that intimate relationship with God. So what are you going to do to clear the mind? What are you going to do to be less busy? What are you going to do to be even intentional on your relationship? And sometimes it's not setting aside a day like Scott and I did, but it's incorporating God into our rhythms of life. So 12 hours in a tractor in a day can either be 12 hours with God or 12 hours without God. Spending 3 hours driving to, pick your point, Medicine Hat, can be 3 hours in the car with God or 3 hours in the car without God. Cleaning my house for 2 hours on a Saturday morning could be 2 hours with God or 2 hours without God. It really becomes your choice. It really becomes my choice. What are we doing to crave that intimacy with God? What are we doing to grow that relationship with God? And trust me, friends, when we set aside that time, God is craving the intimacy with us. Do you know that? God wants that relationship with us. He's craving it. Are you meeting Him there? Is that conversation going back and forth? Number one, an intimate encounter with Jesus will change our lives. Number two, an intimate relationship with Jesus will cause us to grow. And thirdly, an intimate relationship with Jesus will result in sharing His love with others and lives being changed. We are called to reproduce. Verse 4 says this, "For we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people." Verse 8 says this, "He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you." Verse 10, the last half of verse 10 says this, "And all the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." This wasn't part of the reading today, but verse 25 says this, "God has given me the responsibility of serving His church by proclaiming His message, His entire message to you." Verse 28 says, "So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship in Christ." We have a responsibility to share the love that we've experienced in God. And I want to suggest that this is not an option. According to my Bible, this is not an option. So I could say any kinds of names. I could say Diane and Eric, sharing the love that you just expressed to us is not an option. I could say to Fritz and Josh, sharing the love to others that you encounter is not an option. I could say to Nathan and Paul, sharing the love of God wherever you go, whether it's on a machine, whether it's on a truck or wherever it is not an option, according to my Bible. But I also want to suggest that sharing our love of God is a natural thing. Do we have to teach our cows how to have calves? Josh says yes, but he's not the cow guy, so I'm going to go with Fritz. Some are better than others. Okay, I get it. It's a natural thing. Reproduction happens. Right? As we have a relationship with God, as we have that intimacy with God, the natural byproduct of that is that we can't keep it to ourselves. We've got to share it. We don't need evangelism programs in our church. We don't need to teach people how to evangelize. We need to teach people, we need to help people to love Jesus. Am I right? Am I excited? My voice is getting higher. This should be a natural byproduct of a relationship, an intimate relationship, a relationship and intimacy that we crave to love Jesus, to share Jesus. The reason that Paul was writing this letter to the people in Colossae was because there became a problem. And that problem is that the Colossians had this love of Jesus when they first met Him. And then there was a waning. There was a come see, come saw. There was other people with other thoughts that were infiltrating into the faith. There was teachings that were not biblical. There was idol worshippers that were trying to make things a little bit more palatable, because this whole Christianity thing, there was a whole series of very hard sayings. I mean, we're talking a huge commitment to be a follower of Jesus. And they were saying, we need to make it easier. Let's water it down. Let's say, well, if it fits for you on Sunday, great. But if that Sunday thing doesn't fit on Monday, that's okay. And Paul's saying, no way. You can't have that. And in the passage, this is a whole other sermon, but in the passage that follows, starting in verse 15, it talks about how Christ is supreme. He is ruler of all creation. He is ruler over the new creation. He is our Jesus. He is our Lord of lords, and He is our King of kings. And we cannot forget that, and don't let the other stuff confuse you. Because being a follower of Jesus is a huge commitment, and nobody said it was going to be easy. We don't just add Jesus to the equation. It's not like a recipe where we got everything else and a pinch of Jesus will help that taste a little sweeter. It's all about Jesus and nothing else. That's what my Bible says. We were created for a purpose. May you be filled with joy. Verse 12. Always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. Sorry, to love in the light. No, live in the light. We are having an inheritance. An inheritance in heaven. I don't know about you guys, but when the God that I serve owns a cattle on a thousand hills, if I'm a rancher, I'm pretty excited about this inheritance. He didn't say a thousand cattle on the hills. He said the cattle on a thousand hills. That's a lot of hills. It's a lot of cattle. And if I'm a farmer, if I'm a rancher, I'm pretty excited about this. This is part of my inheritance. But that's only the beginning. For He has rescued us from the light, or from the kingdom of darkness. Sorry. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. That's the Jesus that we serve. Diane and Eric stood before you and said that Jesus had forgiven their sins. Jesus purchased our freedom through the cross that we celebrated 3 weeks ago. At Easter Sunday, the purpose that we were created is to bring glory to Jesus. And the way we bring glory to Jesus is to serve Him and to love Him and to thank Him for what He has done for us. And it doesn't matter whether you're sitting in this pew or these chairs here in this building today, or whether somebody's sitting in their house or in a restaurant or wherever they're sitting. Whether they have known Jesus or not, Jesus still died for them. Jesus still died for you. Jesus still died for me. And the sooner we can really get our heads wrapped around that, the sooner we can crave that truth, and crave, as we crave that truth, we crave that intimacy with God, the better we will be. An intimate relationship with God. It's essential for us to understand our purpose. And as we do that, folks, I guarantee you, life will never be the same. So I encourage you to crave that intimate relationship with Jesus. Jesus, thank you for your word, for the power of your word. I pray, Father, that as we embrace that power, that you would be making, the answer is already there, you will make a difference in our lives. You will change us to be lovers of you, lovers of our fellow man. You will give us the strength that we need. You'll give us, as it says in Scripture, all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You'll give us the grace and the love we need to love others. That's there for the taking as we develop that relationship, as we create that intimate relationship with you. So thank you, Jesus. Pray this all in your name. Amen.